Hi, moms. I'm Becca Carnahan.
And I'm Marie Tremblay.
We're two mom friends and career development professionals here to help you answer that big question. What do I want to be when I grow up?
Just because we're moms now doesn't mean we're all the way grown up yet.
I know I'm not.
Me neither. And we want to give you permission to grow, change, and evolve as a parent and professional.
By sharing real stories from real moms, we're going to help you navigate the motherhood identity shift, career changes, work-life balance questions, and more.
Are you ready to keep growing up with us?
Yes? Then let's do this. We are excited to be joined by Jenny Young. So hi, Jenny.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
So let me introduce Jenny to all of our listeners who do not know her wonderful background. So Jenny is the founder and CEO of the Brooklyn Robot Foundry, a vibrant and inclusive brand dedicated to prioritizing diversity and empowerment for children of all backgrounds and communities through STEAM education. So I know as a lot of moms here listening, we're like, oh, yay, thank you, good work. So really appreciate that, Jenny. A little bit more about her background. She is a trained mechanical engineer and a mom turned entrepreneur dedicated to bringing a more diverse, inclusive, and creative approach to STEAM education through the Brooklyn Robot Foundry. It was founded in 2011 with four locations open currently, and the brand focuses on sharing the fun of STEAM education with children everywhere, inspiring them to continue a life full of exploration, problem solving, and imagination. Did we get it right, Jenny? What are we missing?
No, that's totally it. And it sounds really exciting when you say it. So thank you. Thank you so much for the introduction. But that's exactly what we do. That's right.
Jenny, we're so excited. You're our very first engineer. And we've been talking about it for a while. We're like, we need an engineer on the podcast. That's so amazing. We really do think that the world needs more women engineers. Becca and I each have a daughter, and we're curious to know more of your story on what sparked that interest in you when you were a kid.
That's such a good question. And I totally agree. The world needs more female engineers, for sure. Okay, a little bit about my background. I grew up in Ohio in a small town outside of Cleveland. And I grew up with a family that I thought was totally normal. But now in hindsight, I realize it really was strange and beautiful and wonderful. We grew up making things with our hands. So in Ohio, there's space, there's garages, there's basements. And so my house had a huge garage filled with tools and machines. We had a basement filled with tools and machines. My father is a mechanical engineer. And my mother, although she's not an engineer, she's always making stuff. So always kind of crafting and creating and kind of using her hands. She's a big gardener. And so my childhood was really filled with taking things apart. It was very normal for my parents to come into my bedroom and I would have gotten the screwdriver, taken my toys apart because I wanted to know, like, what's inside? Like, how does this work? And then I learned at an early age how to kind of use all of the tools, the hand tools and kind of the heavier machinery, so that we were often just modifying our toys. Or maybe we would want to make something that we had kind of come up with and we would just go into the garage, and my dad never throws anything away. And so there's always just stuff around. And so we were always were allowed to take the stuff and kind of turn it into something else. We didn't watch a lot of television. We made things. And at our dinner table, we would always talk about all the projects that we were creating. And we would always talk about the things that were going badly and the things that we were failing at. And my family laughs like a lot. It's like a very loud laughing environment. And so, you know, we would be like, oh, I made this thing. And then it totally fell apart and didn't work. And everyone would laugh real loud. And then we would be like, well, maybe you should put a bracket here. Or maybe you should think about this. And then we would go back and try it again. And then the next day, you know, we might come back and show it, and maybe it looked real bad, but it kind of worked. And so it was just, you know, I was raised in a way that failure was exciting and failure was part of this process of learning. I went to university to get a mechanical engineering degree. And when I was there, I needed money to pay for college. And so I was working in the student machine shop, and I was training other engineers how to use all of these machines that I had just kind of grown up using. And that was the first time where I realized, like, oh, most people don't break things intentionally and put them back together and kind of use their hands to do strange things. And so I was teaching all of these other engineering students who, you know, probably scored better in school and had, you know, higher grades than I did, but they didn't know how to design something. They didn't really know how things went together. And so I realized, oh, my upbringing is actually pretty special makes me see the world in a different way. My family is very much about just modifying things that they have if they don't like what it does. And so it's very much interacting with kind of the physical world. Then I went, after I got out of college, I went into the workforce. I did design engineering. I worked for a medical device company. I worked for a sporting goods company. I basically did everything from the new product development cycle, like from the beginning of coming up with a concept to testing that concept to then figuring out how to manufacture that concept and then even dealing with the supply chain. How do you make sure you have the parts that make the thing that you want to make? And then the quality assurance, making sure that it actually does what you want it to do consistently. So I did that whole like new product life cycle. I then moved to New York City, and you know, New York City doesn't really have a lot of mechanical engineering jobs. And so I went to work for a startup that was in the education technology space. And what this company did is they made those Scantron sheets, like you fill in the little bubbles of the sheet, and then it would help teachers assess the children's reading level. And that is when I realized, wow, filling in Scantrons is super boring and not a particularly fun way to learn how to do things. I love learning. I think learning is super fun. I'm not particularly great at a lot of things, but I'm very curious. I really like hard problems. I like to try to solve it. And that's something that's really fun for me. And when you look at a Scantron sheet, that is not fun. That is very boring. And there's only right and wrong answers, right? You either pick C and you're right, or you pick D and you're wrong. And so that was what made me think, you know what, I need to figure out a way to get kids to feel and have the same upbringing that I had and not be afraid of failing. And to recognize that engineering is super creative. Someone gives you a hard problem and then there's 900 million ways that you can solve it. And so that was what started the business, is we wanted to create a space where kids could feel empowered and feel that they had the ability to problem solve and to actually fix things. And also, engineering is like so fun. And so I wanted it to be, when you say engineering, everybody has this vision of like, who's an engineer and what does an engineer do? And they usually are, it's usually a white man, and they sit up real straight. Maybe they have a pocket protector. They really like math and they make like robots that shoot lasers. And like, that is not what engineering is. Engineering is something so fun and so creative. And like, people with art backgrounds and people who have this creative mind are actually, you know, sometimes the best engineers, because you're coming at things from different angles. And so that was what I wanted to do with the business, is show everybody that like, actually, this is like wickedly fun and very, very creative. And you don't have to be like this stiff person in order to enjoy engineering.
I am obsessed with that. And I think that's so cool. And I'm just picturing one of Marie's kids in particular is a Lego kid. And I'm just picturing him thinking about breaking things down and solving problems. And it's so cool. And I bring that up because Marie and I had this experience of being moms and how that has really influenced a lot as we think about our careers and our lives and our perspectives on things. So I'm curious for you, Jenny, how has being a mom influenced your work?
I think one of the things that's actually interesting for me, I'm going to flip the question a little bit, I hope that's okay, is mm-hmm. I like to see how me being a boss has influenced my children and mm-hmm. has kind of like shaped the way that they think. Is it okay to answer it that way instead?
Of course, of course. Okay, tell us more.
Okay. So, you know, my kids see me kind of as a hustler. You know, they know that mommy is the boss and that I have a business and that I employ individuals. You know, they really saw that during the pandemic when we're all home and we're kind of working side by side. They're seeing kind of the stress of small business ownership, the weight that you carry as a small business owner of trying to ensure that, you know, you bring in enough revenue to keep all of your people on payroll and also to keep them happy and engaged. And how can you always ensure that your people feel respected and empowered? And so, and they also should see me crunching numbers a lot. So here's just an anecdote that I think is really interesting that makes me see that my kids are kind of really grasping it. So my daughter wanted to buy my son a present for his birthday, and it was more money than she had in her allowance. And so we give her loans and we charge interest. And so we try to explain like money and kind of its worth. Mm-hmm. But she was like, you know what? I think I'm going to do a bake sale and I'm going to see if I can make enough money in order to buy him this present. And so it was like this fascinating thing where she felt empowered to be like, I have some skills. I can do something. I can bring in my own revenue. But it wasn't just revenue because we talked about profit. So we said, all right. I mean, we took a piece of paper. It wasn't like a Microsoft Excel spreadsheet with macros in it, but we took a piece of paper. We said, how much are you, you know, how much are your materials? What are you going to charge? We did like a little lessons learned after the bake sale and said, okay, which thing that you sold, because she made four different things, which one made the most money, which one had the highest profit, which one had the highest revenue. We talked about marketing strategies. Like when you went out and you talked to these people, which strategy was working? And we were kind of even doing this as we were doing the bake sale, like, okay, well, I saw when you did this, it worked really well. What did you see? And so she's learning, you know, she's learning what it is like to be a business owner. She's learning that money has value and that you have to work for that money. And she also is seeing me create a culture that is respectful and kind and thoughtful and empowering of my employees too. So for me, that feels like, well, that's great. Like if that's all that comes out of this business, it feels like that's a success.
Oh my goodness. And so much of what it's different than how you grew up in terms of like the taking things apart, but it's the same idea of like taking this big idea apart and breaking it down into these smaller pieces and having our kids really get their hands dirty, whether it is with pen and paper or it's with baked goods or it is with a robot that they're building, getting their hands on stuff. That's how kids learn. It's really how we learn too as adults, and reminding ourselves of that, that we can dig in to these big sticky problems, and it helps our kids see that they can do that too.
Totally, totally, absolutely. And not to be scared, and not to be scared of failing while you're doing it, right? And knowing that failure is just part of the process of learning, I think is the thing that our current education system is not doing great at. You know, we are teaching kids that there are right and wrong, and that's it. And it's really a binary thing. And the kids are so stuck on making sure they do the right thing. And that's a bummer because you don't learn. I mean, you learn a couple things, but you don't learn as much, and you don't kind of embrace the beauty of learning when you are afraid that you aren't going to do a good job. So that's the thing that I really try to kind of instill in our kids is like, failure is fun and failure is important. And you're not really learning anything if you're not failing because you didn't take yourself outside of your comfort zone.
That's exactly the perfect segue for my next question, because I was wondering how failure impacted the growth in your career.
Oh, that's a really interesting question. Okay. How did failure impact the growth of my career? I think that when you aren't afraid to fail, you create a sense of self-confidence and it kind of builds your self-esteem. So every job I've ever taken has been like super scary. Like I do not know that I am going to be able to do that, but I do it anyways. And so, you know, there are all these statistics that when there is a job and there are 10 things that you need to be able to do in that job, a man looks at that and he's like, oh, I have six of them. Good enough. I'm going to get this job. And then a woman looks at it and she's like, I only have nine. I'm not sure that I can apply for that. And so that is the thing that I don't have that. I look at it and I say, I only have six, I'm going to try. And if they don't want me, it's fine. And so I think that this failure actually is a great leveling field where it allows you to just go for it. And, you know, have I failed in life? Oh yeah. I mean, it was funny. I was talking to my husband, who is a very high achieving individual, and he does things all great. And I was like, oh my God, let's talk about all the things that we failed at. And he's like, oh, I'm not sure that I've ever failed at anything. And I'm like, oh my God, I tried out for cheerleading. I failed. You know, I wanted to be the main singer in the musical and I failed. You know, I tried out for this and I failed. I tried out for this and I failed. And like, I could just rattle off hundreds and hundreds of things that I failed at, but I also have, I'm not, I don't feel bad about myself. So when I fail, it's not a reaction to say that I am unworthy. It's just like, well, you didn't do well on that. Maybe you try again, or maybe you do something else. And so I think that that's what failure has done. It's taken away hurdles that I actually think don't exist for anybody, but that we all put there for ourselves, but they're not real. You just have to try. And if you fall down, oh, well, then you go somewhere else or you try it again, you know, and that's okay.
Is it weird that I'm getting a little emotional listening to this? I want to have my kids listen to this whole episode because that's how I want them to think about failure. And it's a hard thing to learn as a kid. It's a hard thing for us to learn as adults. But the way that you put that together, Jenny, like I really did get a little like little verklempt here, because it's so beautiful and empowering. And this idea of that building your confidence is amazing. And I'm curious to learn actually, because I was going to ask you about culture of Brooklyn Robot Foundry. And I'm wondering if that's baked in to the culture. But the bigger question I had was around this idea of good culture. And I'm putting that in air quotes. I know you all can't see me, but this idea of good culture, because that's something we talk about a lot in our Career Clarity program, about how people are looking for this quote unquote good culture, but being able to define it for themselves. What does good culture actually look like to you? And I know for you as the leader of Brooklyn Robot Foundry, you've had to develop a good culture and one that helps to support your empower your employees, and maybe learning from failure is part of that. So I'm going to stop talking. So I want to hear more about your culture that you have created at Brooklyn Robot Foundry and how that's really impacted your success.
Oh my God, this is like my favorite question ever, because we think so much about culture. So, you know, I started this business 13 years ago. We have recently franchised the business. So about a year and a half ago, we said, you know what, we've got all the processes and the systems ready. We want to share this knowledge of robots with other people who want to start their own small business, but don't, you know, necessarily have a STEM background or an engineering background, but they are salespeople and they are kind of like, you know, go-getters, but they want a little a backing of a company that's been doing it for 13 years, which is what franchising does. And so that's what we did with the business. But one of the things that I was worried about and really kind of like had some like sleepless nights was, we are about to share the brand with other individuals and it's going to be their own small business and they are going to have ownership of it. How do I ensure that, and it's a 10-year contract, so it's a legit thing that you're going into with these people. How do you ensure that those people are going to actually continue the culture of the company and not mess it up? Because I think for me, the thing that I am most proud of for the business is our company culture. And we just think so much about it. So we had hired this consultant that was helping us franchise the business, Stan Friedman. He's amazing. And I said, Stan, I got to figure out, I'm just going to write down what is important to me and what is the company culture. And then I'm going to tell everybody that this is the thing. And he's like, wrong. That's not what you're going to do. You're going to pull all of your employees together. And this was, everybody was kind of dispersed. So we're on Zoom. And he's like, you're going to ask them, what makes the business so wonderful? And why do all of your employees never leave? Most of the employees have been here forever. And so he's like, ask them, and then you can figure out a way to kind of collectively do this. I was like, oh, that was smart. Thanks, Dan. That's a good idea. So then we had this big meeting and all of the team members came on and we did these things called Jamboards, which I guess is now dying, but it's basically like an online post-it notes. And people would just put their ideas of, the question was, what is important about this company and why do you feel connected to it? And what do you like about the company and the brand? And so I'm just sitting there and I'm being quiet because that was what I'm supposed to do. And I'm just watching all of these people put these post-it notes on. And like, I started to tear up because it was incredible to see your entire team use their own words to describe the thing that you were always hoping that the company would be and that you had always wanted the company to become. And so we basically took all of those words and then Lee, my head of marketing, who was like a genius, then took them and kind of grouped them into different values because there were trends in what everybody was saying. And so then we made what we call our core values. And that's the thing that we talk to our franchise owners about. Do you align with these core values? We also, in all of our performance reviews with our employees, is we connect their performance tasks to the core values. And it's just been this beautiful thing where it's like, okay, we understand who we are. Our employees understand who we are. We understand the things that are important. And now our franchise owners also agree with that. And as we're picking the people that we want to be able to franchise our units, we're ensuring that they're really aligned kind of with our core values. And I just want to say that the thing in the middle of our core values, which I think is really, really interesting and very telling, is the word fun. And so we just really want to ensure that the things that we are doing across all of the different kind of portions of the company are fun. And as we're actually making tasks and we're performing deliverables, we have a checklist because I'm a process geek, and we say, okay, the last step of the process to make sure that the deliverable is done is it fun? And so we're always just trying to make sure that everything that we're doing is fun. But there are other serious things to it. So there's empowerment is one of our values. People first is another value. Customer focus, thoughtful innovation, and hands-on creativity. But to add to, you asked a question of, is failure in there? And you can't see my deck, but embracing failure, running towards problems, resilience, perseverance, learning from mistakes, trial and error, improvising, confidence. Those are words that my employees actually stated. And we said, you know what that is? That really is empowerment. So thoughtful innovation. So embracing the impossible, you know, continuous improvement. So these are things that we feel are really important. So failure really is part of who we are. You know, we try things, and if it doesn't work, we try something else. And it is not a company of shame. You know, if something goes wrong, we say, oh, what could we do differently next time to kind of change that? And so people are not afraid to fail in the business. And that feels really lovely.
This is so inspiring, Jenny. And having fun as one of your core values actually motivates people so much. There's a question that Becca and I love to ask all of our guests. What does growing up mean to you?
Oh, I say I will probably never grow up. But I think the thing for me growing up is always learning something new. So, which means honestly that you never are fully grown up. I have a very inquisitive mind. I have a very curious mind. When people say, what are things that you like to do? It's like, I like to learn. I like to learn new information. I like to see different perspectives. I like to hear from different voices. I also like to be given strange engineering problems that I've never seen before. So I actually don't think I will ever grow up, because if I ever stop learning, I actually just think that that is the path to kind of like maybe death. But, you know, like, no, if you stop learning, then you really stop growing. And so I don't think I will ever grow up.
I am with you on that one, because as you started to say that, like, if I ever stop learning, I started picturing this flower just like withering, like the one that's currently sitting on my dining room table. But I'm like, oh shoot, I should have taken care of that. But that's what happens when you don't open yourself to opportunities and invest in your own learning. You have to seek it out. Learning's just not going to get like heaped on top of you. You have to seek it out and bring that down deep into your roots so that you continue to grow. So I love that you're never going to grow up, because I don't think either one of us are either, or any of our listeners. So to that end, I think our listeners are definitely going to resonate with so much of what you said, and they're going to want to learn more about you. So as we close, where can our listeners find you and follow along with your work?
Thank you. Thanks for doing that. So you can find us on brooklynrobotfoundry.com. And then you can also find us on Instagram at Robot Foundry. We're also on Facebook as Brooklyn Robot Foundry.
Amazing. Well, we'll include all those links into our show description so people can come find you. Jenny, thank you so much.
Can I say one more thing?
Please.
If you're interested in taking a class, or your kids want to come and have a class, we do have franchises kind of in the Northeast right now. So there's one in Rochester, Fairfield, Connecticut, Upper East Side of Manhattan, and then two in Philadelphia. And we are about to sign a few more in the New York City area. So if you are in any of those areas, please check us out. Send your kid to a class. We do have parent and kid classes if you want to build with your kid. If you have any interest in learning more about kind of owning your own business, definitely check out our website, brooklynrobotfoundry.com, and just reach out to us. We'd love to talk to people. Even if you're just like a little bit curious about what would it be like to have your own business like this, we'd love to just talk to you. It's really not high pressure sales at all. It's more of just a process of learning about each other and seeing if it's a good fit.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you shared that, because I think that's going to be amazing for our listeners to hear. So thank you so much, Jenny, for being here with us. Thank you for sharing about Brooklyn Robot Foundry. And we look forward to continuing to follow you along with your journey. Thanks for tuning in to When Mommy Grows Up. If you're interested in learning more about how career coaching can help you along your journey of growing up as a mom and professional, head over to nextchaptercareers.us, where you'll also find the free Just Right job match quiz.
You can contact us at podcast@nextchaptercareers.us if you have questions, comments, or want to share your story for some coaching on the show. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a review and make sure you follow us on your favorite podcast platform. We'll be here every week with coaching stories and two mom friends in your corner.